non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh! Yes!
What?
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Apologia Radio. This is the gospel heard around the world. Coming at you guys from Phoenix, Arizona. Apologia Studios. I'm Jeff the Ninja. That's Luke the Bear.
What is up?
That's Joy the Girl.
Hello.
And we are back after a little bit of a, what do you call it, a hiatus? Hiatus.
I got the hiatus.
Why are you saying
we
had
hiatus. Had a little bit of a hiatus there. We're back from Ireland. Hey! We just spent a wee bit of time in Ireland.
A wee bit.
Was a huge blessing to be able to serve Jesus and the church in both Northern and Southern Ireland. Car Man is working on the documentary right now. He's about to start working on it. Documentary of what took place in Ireland. It was a huge gift. So for those of you guys who are new to Apologia Radio, welcome to Apologia Radio. And for those of you guys that are longtime listeners and friends, fans, family, welcome back, guys. So let me give you an update on what's up. EndAbortionNow.com. has now gone global. The message of End Abortion Now, the gospel at the center of the fight against the culture of death, is global. Hopefully by the end of the year, we're looking at,
Seven Nation Army.
Yeah. Yes.
Good reference.
Uh-huh. Very, very good. So if you don't know and you're new to what's up with Apologia, we're a church. All of the content we have, the media, is an outreach extension of the teaching ministry and evangelism arm of our church. We have Apologia Radio, Apologia TV, the after show. We have next week, the platform next week. We have everything we do comes from Apologia Church. End Abortion Now is a ministry of Apologia Church, and it's the gospel, the biblical worldview at the center of the fight against abortion, the culture of death. We have over 200 churches across the United States, local churches that are now going to their local abortion mills to preach the gospel, to save lives, to offer help and support to mothers and fathers who are considering murdering their children. Mm-hmm. And the emphasis this year is to equip those churches and give free resources, free training, but also to equip those churches to do the same kind of media stuff that we're doing across the country. But God gave us a great opportunity to get connected to churches in other nations. Specifically, what we're talking about here is in Northern and Southern Ireland. So they are about to have a referendum.
May 25th,
the Eighth Amendment in the South, Southern Ireland, protects the life of the unborn. It equalizes the life of the unborn with the life of the mother. Right now, in both Northern and Southern Ireland, it's against the law to kill your child in the womb. And we pray that God would continue to preserve that nation, both those nations. And so that's what's up. So in the South, we gave you guys Marcus did an amazing documentary called Losing Ireland. It's on Apologia Studios' YouTube page. Go check it out, Losing Ireland. And that kicked off a movement in both the North and the South of Christians in churches who want to communicate the gospel in the light of abortion. And so we had the opportunity to go back. While back in Ireland, we got a lot of content. We went to the pro-life rally with over 100,000 people marching in Southern Ireland in Dublin to protect abortion. And that's what we did on one of the things we did there. Another thing is we met with people privately. We met with a group of churches mm-hmm. from the north and the south, over 40 churches, Reformed Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Great meeting with them. We're going to be equipping them and giving them resources, helping them to communicate the gospel, not just on this issue, but particularly on this issue. And we also had a Wednesday conference up in the north, and there were people represented there from churches across the south and the north. It was amazing. It was completely filled up mm-hmm. into the overflow room. And we even had somebody that was given specific directive to come to this conference from Germany. And this person was from one of two Reformed Baptist churches in all of Germany. And he was sent with greetings from the elders there and a request for help, that Apologia Church would have helped to equip them to fight yep. against abortion in Germany. So praise God. We also had a private meeting with pastors and leaders from the north and the south. One of the pastors drove 5 hours one way just to get to this private meeting. And we sat with them and talked with them about equipping them in their fight against abortion in their nation. So praise the Lord for that. You guys will be seeing that soon. I just want to give you that update. All kinds of really cool things happening right now. Trust me, you want to take a look at it. Ron Hood, Representative Ron Hood from Ohio, he has submitted legislation. He's got co-sponsors on this bill to criminalize, to ban, to abolish abortion once and for all in the state of Ohio. Encourage you guys to go to Apologia Studios on YouTube or Apologia Studios on Facebook. Check out the interview we did with Representative Ron Hood, who's working to end abortion immediately in the state of Ohio. You can be a part of this movement to uphold justice for the unborn. That's what's up right now. We are also doing our annual evangelism at the Mormon Temple's Easter pageant in Mesa, Arizona. We got lots of content. Last night, we got into like three conversations about 30 minutes in length each. Really great stuff. So we'll be putting that out on the YouTube channel and on Facebook throughout the coming weeks. So be on the lookout for that. We already have one that is up on YouTube right now, the most recent one. Go check that out. Share it with people you love. So encouraged by what God is doing through this ministry and your help. And I want to finish this by saying that really grateful. We know that God is using this really around the world, the content. But God has just blessed us over the last couple of weeks to run into people in the United States, in Arizona, in Ireland, both the north and the south, that God is impacting with the content from this church. And the only way it happens, the only way it happens is through our partners and our ministry partners like you.
Right.
And the way you guys can partner with us to make all this possible is by going to Apologia Studios. You get all those radio shows, everything's just distributed out to the world. But you can also get Apologia TV, the after show, and Apologia Academy by signing up for All Access. And when you do, it's a $9.95 donation a month. And what happens with that is we use that to create content, to do what we're doing, to get the gospel around the world. And you get all the additional content, TV, after show, academy, all that stuff, everything. So thank you to everybody who's partnering with us. Every single one of you guys means a lot to us, a great deal to us. So that's what's up. There's a quick update, I guess. Oh, can I?
That's what's up.
Hey, Marcus.
Yeah.
Can we talk?
About?
Yeah, we can talk, sure.
Can we talk about the thing?
What thing?
The thing we met about yesterday. Can we? I mean, we're not going to announce like when and like who, but like the fact that we're planning something special.
Oh, yeah.
Can we? You should do that, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's what I would think. So we are planning. I just want to make sure I want to make sure that we're all cool with it. We're planning now in the works ReformCon 2018.
What?
That's right. ReformCon. Me clapping. There you go. We're all very excited. ReformCon 2018. We are thrilled about this opportunity. So when was it 2016 we did it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So 2016 went really well, and we only had we had limited time to plan for that. It went really, really well. Everybody that came just enjoyed themselves. Great fellowship, great teaching. It was just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. What was your favorite thing about ReformCon? What do you think? Everyone?
I think Nate Wilson. The fellowship was really good.
Favorite talk?
Nate Wilson.
Nate Wilson?
Yeah.
You?
Oh, I was going to say Oliphant.
You see, I'm between Oliphant and Nate, too.
Right.
Yeah, I'm between Oliphant and Nate, too. You guys can watch them all, by the way. They're on YouTube. ReformCon. Check it out. They're all there. Yeah. Nate
yeah, like
was just,
this little
spot. Oh, I can see just one little spot where your eyes coming through right there. Hey.
Well, then when I said Oliphant, Luke looked at me like I wasn't as cool as him for liking ND.
No, Elephant
like
was my
second
favorite.
Are you crying right now because of that?
But okay, favorite. my favorite breakout session was definitely Marcus. His talk on what was it? What was it titled, Marcus? So people can go see it.
How Christians bought gave us the cell phone, something like
That's
that.
That's definitely not what it was called.
Well, the printing something about.
It was Christian something.
Christians created the smartphone
thing. Cell phone.
Something.
How Christians created the
smartphone. Smartphone. It was
a
smartphone for sure. So I'd encourage you to go look at that. That talk is what inspired Les Lanfear to create the movie Calvinist. Great movie.
Yes.
And there was that talk Les credits with, you know, really getting him to take the big step to do something like that. And so it's just really a great, great talk. It would encourage you and inspire you. Go check it out. Marcus worked really hard on that.
We should put it on Facebook. I don't think we've ever.
Oh, we have done it. Do it. Let's do it today.
Right. Oh, I thought we did.
Actually, I don't think we put any. Did we? Did we actually stream?
I don't think we were really doing.
We didn't do that.
We didn't live stream the breakout sessions.
Yeah. I don't think we did.
They're on All Access.
No, I think we live streamed to YouTube. We never actually did that on Facebook.
Oh, that's true.
Ah,
we did not. No.
Let's do it.
Facebook wasn't a thing then.
That's right. Just 2 years. okay. So we are going to, Lord willing, it's in the works right now, do ReformCon 2018. We're looking right now at the last week of October. That's the last week, right?
Yes.
Okay. Last week of October to be a 3-day conference and End Abortion Now. The conference for 2018 is also going to be packed into there. So very excited about this. It'll be a great opportunity to come, to fellowship, to get equipped. And we want to make this a conference that means something, that really blesses you, and something to be a lot of fun.
T-shirt cannons.
There's going to be t-shirt cannons.
Yes, there will be a t-shirt cannon.
We'll have tattoos and beer at the conference. I mean, may as well. I mean, they said we did last time, and it didn't happen, so.
Don't tempt us.
Yeah, don't tempt us, Christian discernment bloggers.
That's going to get cut out and get us in trouble.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that never actually happened,
guys. What
other
crazy things can we say
now? Well, you know what we should do? Is just leave it to the discernment bloggers to make stuff up again, and let them be creative with the ideas, and we'll implement them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your move, discernment bloggers.
Your move.
The ball's in your court. Yeah.
So, yeah, it never happened, but. Okay, what else? Let's get into the show. Okay, so just so you know, today's show is about very important stuff. Very important stuff, culturally speaking. And yes, it's connected to the biblical worldview. It matters a lot. Even if you're not in the United States and listening to this, I know we have a lot of foreign listeners that are in Ireland and, of course, Australia, New Zealand, Africa, all over Europe. This conversation matters because it is directly related to the biblical worldview. What's actually wrong with the world when we see things like school shootings and the knife crime and the stabbings all over England right now, the epidemic with the knifings in England. What's wrong? Is it mental health issues, or is it what the Bible fundamentally talks about? Sin, our sinful condition. So we're going to talk today about David Hogwash, the high schooler from Parkland in Florida, the guy that's now being used by the left, him and his buddy, to lead.
Can we say he's being prostituted?
Yes.
He is.
Yeah, he really
like
is.
They're like the new Muppets.
No, you're right. That's a good way to say it, Marcus.
He is. No, he is.
I don't know if we'll be able to play it on this one, Marcus, but I was thinking about you when I was watching it this morning. It just came up as a random video. I'm like, oh my goodness, we might need to play some of this. And it was Glenn Beck actually talking about the financial connections to the March for Our Lives. Show enough. Who do you think's involved?
George Soros.
Good old George.
Ah, peaches. George.
Can we just call him Peaches?
Good old George Peaches.
I wouldn't be surprised if the NRA is funding him. They're doubling their membership, and all kinds of donations are coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably funds the NRA too.
Yeah,
it helps the war.
That's true.
He funds both sides.
I could totally see him doing that.
Peaches. David Hogwash, the leader now of the students against the Second Amendment. Let's just call it what it is. Let's call it public school indoctrinated children against the Second Amendment. That's good.
I like
so,
that.
We're going to play some clips of...
Is there an acronym for that?
I don't know. We should make one. Well, we're going to play some clips from...
I already forget all the words you said, can't think of what word it makes up.
We'll start writing it down. We'll figure it out. David Hogg, his friend, we're going to play some from the interview with Bill Maher. We're going to play some other things just to show some of the just truly asinine things he said in his interviews and inconsistent things. So I want to warn you ahead of time for those of you guys that have kids around. We're going to play some clips from David Hogg, his interviews, and some of these clips contain curse words. We are not going to bleep them out for a reason. I think that I don't want to give him any help. I think bleeping him out in this context helps him to not sound as bad as he truly is. And so we are not going to bleep him out.
Or are you saying he sounds like a government school student?
Yeah, well, yes, yeah. Yes. And I can't believe the way he's speaking in his own parents' home about his, I'm just going to say the word. I'm quoting him now. These aren't my words. They're his words about his old ass parents. So we're going to play the clips.
So hip.
It's foul language. And I want you to know ahead of time that we're doing it because I'm not helping this young man. By sanitizing his language. I know some of you guys may disagree with that. I love you for Jesus' sake, but for our purposes here, I'm not sanitizing him. I'm going to play him and I'm going to let you see the little man child as he truly is. So before we do, Joy.
Yes.
Let's talk. What you got?
Well, I found something interesting. I know usually I try to go for weird and or funny. When you give me a little airtime at the beginning.
Yes.
But this, I think, is funny and horrible at the same time.
Okay.
We're going to talk about clear backpacks.
Oh, that's great. I have a clip on that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'll go ahead and get that clip ready, too, since you...
So, Stoneman Douglas decided after the school.
Oh,
that's
okay.
The school.
Did I get the name of the school wrong? Did I say Parkland?
You said it was in Parkland.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which I think is true.
Okay.
I'm also blinking now.
Okay.
For Parkland, fear of being wrong.
Yeah, I keep getting it. It's Parkland school shooting, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So obviously the shooting happened. Then two students were found with knives in their backpacks, which should be unrelated because they're not guns, so it's not a problem.
Right.
And then the brother of the shooter was found trespassing on campus. And so they made this decision that when students returned from spring break, that they would all have clear backpacks. Mm. So it's sort of caught on with multiple other schools and other school districts. There's a school district in Texas where everyone is going to have clear backpacks, including kindergartners.
Oh, my goodness.
And it just, I don't know. What do you guys think about
this
that?
This is just one.
Were you guys, okay, so
go ahead.
When I was a kid, I don't know how long this fad went on for. It was really popular to have clear things, like a clear phone. You were really cool if you had a clear phone.
Oh, did they have like clear Game Boys?
Yes, clear Game Boy. Everyone was
right
into
now.
Like blow up furniture, which is also clear.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
I don't
okay.
Know.
Yeah,
I don't know how much interaction you guys had with clear backpacks, but we probably would have thought this was cool back in my day.
Well, isn't David Hogg? I heard him say that he was mad about this. And that
yes.
It was a violation of his First Amendment rights.
Right. Well, and that's why I want to talk about it because what they're attempting to do is to, address this issue. On a bigger level. They want it legislated. They want the government to take care of it. They want someone who is above them in power to stop school shootings from happening. And then when the school districts decided to also do that, they don't like it because it involves how cool they look.
Yeah.
Don't take that right away from me. Take the other rights away from me.
Well,
right.
Yeah, exactly. So he attacks the Second Amendment and is let's just say it like it is. That's what he's going after. He says that the Second Amendment should be considered a privilege, not a right. It's like, I'm sorry, young man. The Bill of Rights says what it says about the Second Amendment. It doesn't say the Bill of Privileges.
Right.
And that's not what it is.
That's a huge legal distinction, too.
Very much so.
Really important.
Yeah, you got to be really cautious with that. Like,
yeah.
Bill of Rights. So when he says that, he says, you know, it should be treated as a privilege and not a right. It's like, no, Bill of Rights, these are inalienable rights. These are rights that are given to us really by God. They're inherent because of the nature of the world. God, image of God. This is justice. That's the point of the Bill of Rights. The government has no ability right. to mess with this because it's not given to us by the government. This is us telling the government, these are our rights. Stay out of them. You can't touch this. This can't be altered because these are just, this is standard justice in the world that God made. By the way, also, I'm going to set this up ahead of time, and I'm really glad you brought this up because I actually had it for the tail end of the show. But he says, you know, this is an infringement on our First Amendment, which is interesting. This is a guy who's ultimately trying to trash the Second Amendment.
I would say he doesn't even get that right.
He doesn't get it right. That's my point.
Because it's infringement on the Fourth Amendment. Right, which is on unreasonable search and seizure.
Yes.
He doesn't. Wow.
Marcus knows all about that one.
This young man.
I know about the Fourth Amendment.
You sure do.
Yeah.
This young man. Exactly, Marcus. I'm glad you caught that. So this young man doesn't even know the law well enough to basically argue on the right amendment. Like, he should. So he's trashing the second.
I was trying to figure out, like, what is his argument that it's a free speech thing? Like, I don't know.
I was trying to figure that out too.
Because you could put a design on your book bag that you want.
So he wanted, you know, we should be able to have whatever style we want. But it's like, but that's not what you're arguing. You're arguing that people can see inside and they shouldn't be able to see inside.
Right.
Unless you put, like, Jesus Christ is King or something on your backpack, then it's not allowed.
Well,
right. But see, if the Second Amendment goes, you're gonna have to, the Fourth Amendment is gonna go too. So he probably is trying to think that, like, we can get rid of both of Second and Fourth, but I'll still keep my book bags based on the First.
Right.
Because Fourth is a protective of bigger government as much as the Second is.
Uh huh.
So,
well, I'm going to go ahead and play it. Yeah, just two quick clips here. Here we go.
And I know what the NRA likes to do. The people at the top of the NRA like to do is they like to hide behind the Second Amendment and say that this is our constitutional right. We're Americans. And if you look at all the other countries like Canada, like Sweden, and so many others that are first world countries and are places that have more developed gun laws and are more restrictive on gun ownership and see it more as a privilege rather than a right. They allow people to own guns, just in a way more controlled way.
A way more controlled
way.
Controlled by...
But don't you control my backpack?
Right.
You do control the backpacks.
Right.
I just don't understand, like, isn't this what they're asking for? It's sort of like throwing a fit, right?
They want bigger government, but they don't want bigger government.
Right, right. Only in our way. Yeah. Like, why don't you guys just do it my way?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Larger government. I want the government to be the daddy. Government
also,
take control.
Also, those countries that have restrictive gun laws, they're awful countries to live in.
Yes.
Right. Well, and they have horrible knife crime or other types of weapon crime. Uh-huh. Like, that's just how it is.
You know,
Marcus, weren't you telling me last night there was in 2014 a mass school stabbing that nobody reported on?
Yeah, we talked about that next
week. Yeah, it was in 2014.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't in 2014.
It was 14.
Yeah.
21 were slashed at a school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and it's mass stabbings. And then all over England right now. We talked about this on next week.
Yeah.
Mass stabbings all over England right now. It's epidemic. They're terrified of constant stabbing, the fear of being stabbed. And so they're having protests against knives. Knife crime. Okay, so that was the one part. Let me play the next piece. This is where you need to hear David Hogg talking about...
Wash. We're at the second part.
Hogwash. Talking about the clear backpacks.
We come back from spring break. They're requiring all of us to have clear backpacks. I think one of the other important things to realize is many students want their privacy. There are many, for example, females at our school, when they go through their menstrual cycle, they don't want people to see their tampons and stuff.
Right.
Right to privacy.
That's the Fourth Amendment, Mr. Hogwash.
It's unnecessary. It's embarrassing for a lot of the students, and it makes them feel isolated and separated from the rest of American school culture, where they're having essentially their First Amendment rights infringed upon because they can't freely wear whatever backpack they want, regardless of what it is. It has to be a clear backpack.
What does that sound like? Exactly?
Video. I hate when people do that on videos. You just look at the clip and they put something like that in.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, but that laughing. That's true.
Is that the sound of somebody unzipping a clear backpack?
So
yeah, do you think, let me ask you a question. Do you think that with all the press and attention that these Parkland students are getting, do you think any of them are being currently homeschooled right now? Because they're missing a lot of school. Yeah. Missing a lot of school.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like missing all the school is doing pretty good for them.
Right. True. You know, it's interesting because one of the things that David Hogg is arguing in terms of the clear backpacks, besides the fact he's arguing on the wrong point, he's arguing that we shouldn't punish an entire segment of society based upon the actions another.
Whoa.
Yes.
Huh.
Which is kind of the point in the gun debate.
Right.
That's the point.
Well, but it all breaks down to this weird, like, current generation that we have, which is that, like, just my way. Just do it my way, and then I'll be happy. Like, I'm fighting for change, but it's the specific type of change that I want, and if you don't do it the way I want, it's not going to be good enough.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm sorry, but I'm not listening to a young man that cannot show really clear thinking about these issues, who's just ruled by emotion at this point. Of course,
He should be. He was in a school shooting.
There you go.
Of course he should be.
Yeah.
He was in a school shooting where the government did not come in to protect
right.
him.
No, right.
Police officers.
He stood outside.
Yeah. He is he's totally a traumatized person. And I don't even mean that. Like, that's not a jab at him. He really is. Someone get this kid off camera.
But this makes him expert.
Right, well, I'm going to play that for sure.
Can we refer to him as a young male? I'm not sure he's earned the title man yet.
No. I was just getting at what Joy said there. I am sensitive to the fact that this child was in a school shooting and he's traumatized. I'm sensitive to that. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but the moment you step out of that realm of sensitivity into my world, our world, and you start trying to rob us of our rights, when you start promoting a worldview that is antithetical to the biblical worldview, you now have become fair game. When you make such terrible arguments and you don't even know what the Constitution, the Bill of Rights actually says about our rights, I have a right to respond to you. You've stepped out into the big boy world and you're trying to argue and take away people's rights and to destroy the Second Amendment. I'm going to say something back because now you stepped into the realm of the public square and now all of your arguments are fair game. You don't understand the Bill of Rights. You argued for the wrong point in terms of why people shouldn't be required to have the clear backpacks. That's a Fourth Amendment issue. Search and seizure, unreasonable search and seizure, having a warrant, not treating an entire segment of society like they're guilty based upon the actions of another. Yeah, that's a very good point. And I really wish that you'd understand that in terms of the gun debate. So these are all very important issues. They matter a whole lot. This kid and all the people that are with him are now highly funded by these major liberal organizations, people that are connected to Soros. Lots of money's coming into this. And so the liberal propaganda machine is churning so fast right now because they found out, here's another really amazing emotional argument that we can use to propagate our antithetical to the Christian worldview, which is all it is. This is just unbelieving drivel.
I just want to add that I just think that clear backpacks are also a violation of the Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination.
Yes. They're all kind of connected.
So you need all the amendments. You need them all.
Thank the Lord for those very thoughtful Christians who put all this in place. Thank God for the biblical worldview that protected even David Hogwash's right to say these very ignorant things. So I don't want the First Amendment. See, here's the thing, watch. David Hogwash says these awful things and they're inconsistent, they're incoherent. And I'm not gonna say, therefore I want his First Amendment rights taken away. Now he can say all the stupid things that he wants, but I can also say all the refutations of it. So it's important, of course, to have that First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Fourth and the Fifth. They all matter a great deal. So we're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we're going to play through some more interview stuff with David Hogg, his buddy, Bill Maher. We're going to work through this stuff, try to work through it biblically, thoughtfully. It's an important discussion to have. I'll tell you right now, if there's ever a relevant time to play this, it'd be this time right now. I'm not a fan of this man, but it's still a very relevant thing to play, and it really expresses my thoughts exactly.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand?
Sorry.
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
I know.
Did he keep his shirt on for that?
Yeah, he did for that one. No floppies were out for that one. I have to say that if you want to start the next civil war in the United States, if you really want that,
right,
then I challenge you to go ahead and try to take away the Second Amendment. Try to ruin the Second Amendment. Ignore the shall not be infringed part, and you will create the next civil war in the United States. And I believe that would be a just battle.
Yeah.
Because this is ultimately about tyranny.
Yeah.
That's what the Second Amendment was for. It's not for hunting. It wasn't for self-defense only. It was for defense against a tyrannical government. How do you think we beat England? Sorry for all of our English brothers and sisters listening to this, not trying to pour salt in a wound. But the point is if you believe in the American experiment and what we fought for, it was the Second Amendment idea that allowed us to fight that battle. That's really it.
I always tell the Australian friends that are in favor of gun restrictions, I say, well, who's going to stop you guys from being ruled by a monarchy?
Oops.
Because that's the ultimate point of the Second Amendment, is to protect all the other rights.
Right.
So
you take away that, yep.
You'll be ruled by a queen.
Sorry, I was just saying this yesterday, what you were just saying about if they legit try to take away the Second Amendment. I was like, we're not World War II Germany. Like, there's too many people in this nation with a lot of guns that aren't going to have that.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nope. All right, guys. Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiastudios.com, APOLOGIA studios.com. We'll catch you guys on the other side. Make sure you guys share this episode with somebody you love. Thanks for listening. Be right back.
My eyes wide open underneath the sun. Follow, feel it, patience.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrew's College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house. Not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
This is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. Dave Shannon, he's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitic.com.
Yeah, isn't true. I do tell them though, girl, but I don't do that there though.
leg up. At times my faith get low in my face, it just shows. Though the statement's bold, I'ma say it because I know. I gotta show off thing in Christ. I gotta show off thing in Christ. I gotta show off thing in Christ. Cause he promised eternal life. Though some nights get bleak, there are days that get cold. I will rest in the wings of the Savior cause I know. I gotta show off thing in Christ. I gotta show off thing in Christ. I gotta show off thing in Christ. Cause he promised eternal life. I gotta show
off. All right. Welcome back, guys. Apologia Radio. Gospel heard around the world in the studio right now with Luke the Bear, Joy the Girl. We got Daniel Carman's doing his work. Zach's over there doing something. Gabe's in the back. I got Marcus Pittman on the ones and twos. Full studio today, actually, guys. Important subject just actually during the break. Cut an entire episode of Apologia TV and After Show.
What you got to see.
Yes. With Toby Sumter, pastor of Christ Church, Moscow, Idaho, about his book, Blood Bought World. You guys can catch that on Apologia Studios. All access, Apologia TV. Trust me, you want to hear it. It just gets better and better and better. The after show was awesome. He was even able to fit in a Monsters, Inc.
Yep.
Point.
Yep.
Made it theological. Pretty powerful stuff. All right. So we're doing the discussion today, engaging with some of the thoughts of David Hogg and his crew.
Hogwash.
Again, I want to make sure that I stress that, and Joy made a point of it, that of course we recognize the unbelievably incomprehensible, traumatic experience that David and his other classmates went through, and truly, truly grieved for them. However, the moment you step into the public realm and you start trying to subvert the laws of a nation that are there for a reason, that are directly connected to a biblical worldview and mindset, that's when we speak up. And I'm going to play some clips for you guys in this segment of David Hogg himself in his parents' house doing an interview. But before we do, I'm actually going to play a little clip for you here. This is, it shows that, you know, it's not just the professing Christians and the right-wing Republicans that really want the, you know, the Second Amendment and guns, and we're addicted to guns. It really is deeply connected to the Christian worldview. That's why I believe in the right to bear arms. But you can also listen to one of the most well-known gangster rappers, specifically, is what it's actually titled. Ice-T on gun control.
A defender of the right to bear arms.
Well, I give up my gun when everybody else does.
And is that
doesn't that make sense?
Well,
doesn't that make sense? I mean, if you were to, if there were guns here, would you be want to be the only person without one?
So do you carry guns routinely at home? I mean, you have a gun at home?
Yeah, it's legal in the United States. It's part of our Constitution. You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Oh,
not
someone's
hunt,
got it.
Hunt. It's to protect yourself from the police.
And do you see any link between that and these sorts of incidents?
No. Nah, not really. You know what I'm saying? If somebody wants to kill people, you know, they don't need a gun to do it.
Makes it easier, though, doesn't it?
Not really. You can use, you can strap explosives on your body. They do that all the time.
So when there's the inevitable backlash, mm-hmm, of the anti-gun lobby as a result of this incident, as it always is.
Well, that's not going to change anything
in
the United States.
Anything.
Nah. The United States is based on guns, you know? Like KRS says, you'll never have justice on stolen land. So it's not going to change.
That was Ice-T, y'all.
Wow.
So it's just important, and I think it should be said, don't shy away from it. It's really, really important that the basis of the Second Amendment is essentially its protection against tyranny. I saw a beautiful quote the other day from somebody in a foreign nation, and it escapes me at the moment. I think I actually shared it on my Facebook page. Somebody was speaking directly to the United States citizens from a foreign country, and they said essentially that, you know, you need to fight for your Second Amendment rights because they took our rights away years ago, and now we have people thrown in jail over tweets. So here's a foreigner saying, don't let it go, guys, because you give the government that much power and unrestrained power, lose your guns, and they'll throw you in jail later for your tweets.
Right.
Think about it. I mean, it matters a great deal. Let me say right now, I mean this, and I understand being peacemakers, and we are. But in terms of justice in the world, if you want to kick off another civil war, go after the Second Amendment, because you will have a civil war in your hands. Because there are people, and I'm one of them, that would definitely see that as a hill to actually literally die on.
Yeah.
So...
Who do you suppose is going to win that war? The people with all the guns or the people without guns?
Right, exactly. Exactly. All right, so...
It just seems like a really bad idea. I'm not even making a political statement
all around
right
a bad
now.
Idea.
I'm,
no,
just
I'm,
making, I'm just yeah. observing.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, just I'm just an observer. So,
yeah,
I'm just a bystander.
It's probably an important observation.
Yeah, it's a meaningful one.
It has implications.
And you know, and people always say like the Hitler fallacy. Like if you always bring it back to Hitler, it's the Hitler fallacy. But truth be told, the first thing Hitler did before he actually engaged in his tyranny was he took away people's ability to defend themselves. Made them much easier victims.
He knew what he was doing.
He did. And so, and it's true, as wild as Floppies is, Alex Jones, as wild as the man is, as out there as the man is, he has a point that you just can't refute. Hitler did take the guns, Mao took the guns, Stalin took the guns, and that's what these people do. That's what these tyrants do. Before they impose their tyranny, they have to disarm the populace. And so that's why it can never happen in our nation. And for those of you guys who are in other countries like England, brothers and sisters in Christ in England or in Australia that are, you know, sort of like on the other side of this issue, just know that we love you for Jesus' sake. We're allowed to disagree on this issue. You're just not allowed to disagree on it substantially here. We won't let you because we understand what it means and we love you. And I will say that for those of you guys that are in England, that believe it'd be a good thing to disarm the public. Notice how it hasn't helped you. Now you have the problem with all the knifings taking place. Mm-hmm. And for those of you guys in Australia, it did nothing ultimately to do any damage to your violent crime. There's still violent crime. There's still rapes and assaults and robberies. And
magpies.
And yeah, magpies that'll attack your head while you're
right.
riding a bike.
Australia is like a terribly dangerous place
yeah.
to be.
And with the animals and critters are one thing. And now you've taken away the equalizer for women who are home alone and there's break-ins and they have no ability to actually defend themselves against a rapist. They need an equalizer. I don't think that women should be made easier victims. I don't want women to have their equalizer removed from them so they can't fight against two men, three men who break into their home. I just listened to a terrible video recently. It was actually the 911 audio footage of a woman who called 911 because she heard someone breaking into her house in the middle of the night, and it was a man who was drunk that decided to break into her home and to rape her. So you heard this like rape taking place on the 911 call. It took the police a little long to get there, and so by the time they got there, he was already raping her, and she had no weapon herself. I don't want that to happen to women. I don't. I don't apologize for wanting women to have their equalizers. I think that this recent discussion about raising the limit to get a gun to 21 years old is lunacy. Mm. You really want college-aged women in their dorms having their guns taken away? I am passionately committed to never letting that happen because I had a friend who was in that situation. I think it's horrible. I think it's just a deplorable worldview. I think it's not helpful. It's inconsistent, and it does damage to real people in the real world. It's an injustice. Marcus, you made a good point during the break, something about how much we've changed.
Yeah, so Ice-T, he said that, how are we going to defend ourselves against the police if they take our guns away?
Right.
And I was watching the biography of Jim Nabors, who did Gomer Pyle, and they played an episode of when Gomer Pyle was on the Andy Griffith Show, and Barney Fife pulled Gomer Pyle over for making an illegal U-turn in the street, and Gomer Pyle was complaining about the ticket because Barney Fife was his friend, and Barney said, if I was just a regular Joe Blow on the street and I saw you making an illegal U-turn, I'd have to place you under citizen's arrest. And so Barney Fife gives him the ticket, gets in his police car, and makes an illegal U-turn when driving away. And so Gomer Pyle gets out of his car, yells citizen's arrest, and all the people in the town gather around the police car and place Barney Fife under arrest, under citizen's arrest.
I like that worldview.
Yeah, like that's so crazy because I was watching that clip and I was like, how in the world did... have we come so far that the police were just supposed to be helping keep law and order to where they've become men with guns that shoot people in the streets without a trial and there's no way to protect ourselves because then you get arrested.
Yeah, and lest you think that Marcus is going too far, thinking, you know, you think, oh, that, when's that really happen? And when is that kind of abuse, you know, something really to be concerned with? Well, how about Monday night? Was it Monday night for us? Or Tuesday night?
Tuesday.
Tuesday night, go to the Mormon Temple of Mesa, Arizona. Been there for 22 years. 22 years. We've already had the discussions with the Mormon Temple, the Mormon Church's local attorneys, the police department. We've had it a number of times back in the year 2003, 2002. I think late 90s we had this discussion with the police and the city attorneys and everything else. In terms of temple property, there's a public sidewalk right in front there. We've already been down this road when there's, you know, thousands of people trying to walk on that sidewalk. There needs to be an easement. Well, there's public utility lines right there where the grass is next to the sidewalk. That's all actually public property because it's public utility. It doesn't belong to the Mormon Church. And so we've already had this discussion because it happened before. Someone got arrested and this fight happened where the question is, well, how far back on the grass can we stand? Because it's a public sidewalk. We have First Amendment rights. And yet, we don't want to be on their property. So, there's an easement there, public utility lines. And so I walk up on Tuesday, and there's police officers there. May I make a note that these police officers are actually working for the Mormon Church that night?
Uh-huh.
They're being paid by the Mormon Church.
At least one of them is Mormon.
Yeah, to work as security and to, you know, to do the traffic. So we pull up, and I'm walking up, and I see, you know, a little bit of a conflict going on. They're forcing Luke to stand on the sidewalk. So I just really, you know, respectfully said to this officer, I said, officer, you know, there has to be an easement. And he said, well, I'm just telling you, I was told by temple security that you had to be on the sidewalk. I said, well, officer, are you new here? And he immediately got aggressive with me and tried to start swinging his authority. And I said, well, officer, the reason why I'm saying that to you is because you've already had this debate. It's already been a fight, a legal battle. And we've been told because there's public utility lines here, this is a public easement. We're allowed to stand here to get out of everyone's way. Otherwise, we're in everyone's way. So now we get to a place where now he starts threatening me. Him and another officer start threatening me, saying if I didn't obey their unlawful order, they were going to basically arrest me. They're going to cite me. And so what I said to him, I said, well, officer, aren't you an officer of the law? All I'm asking you to do is obey the law, to uphold the law. Not to show essentially favoritism towards them. He said, well, the person told me you can only stand there. I said, well, he's just a private citizen. What if I tell you as a private citizen, I'm going to stand right here? Are you going to listen to me? I said, isn't your job to actually uphold the law itself? And I said, we can pull up the city schematics right now if you'd like. And he said, and basically it just became a point where now he was starting to try to wield his authority. I was being respectful and just trying to talk to him. Then he refused to even speak to me. And then it ended up, essentially, temple security ended up telling him he was wrong. We have the easement. But the point is it's there are officers who abuse their authority. There are officers who act unlawfully. The public is not supposed to be in a position where we're under their boots, right? Where they can just do whatever they want. And tyranny, if you let it go free, becomes more tyranny. Mm. Why? Because people are sinners.
And the Supreme Court has ruled that you are allowed to protect yourself from unjust police officers, even to the point of death of the that officer. And they've already ruled in favor of the private citizen in those matters.
Yes.
So, I mean, I wouldn't recommend it.
No, please don't get in that situation. No,
it's a long, long battle, but the Supreme Court has long ruled in favor of citizens' arrest against the police. So that's something really I think would be really helpful for the black community to learn and embrace the idea that Ice-T was saying. Is like,
right.
You know, hey, you can protect yourself against this. You don't have to just stand around and let the police kill somebody.
Right.
So
I love two things. One is I'm very sympathetic to the movement with black Americans who are really trying to speak out against police injustice. So I want for the black community, of course, what I want for every color community, we're all the same human race, but I want for the black community, one, I want them to know Jesus first and foremost, be saved. And number two, I wish the black community understood God's law and real standards of justice. So what they fought for in terms of arguing against the police injustice was they argued for biblical justice. That would be amazing.
Mm.
Praise God for that. If it happens, I believe it will. Trust God for it because Psalm 110:1. Go read it.
There's a lot of there's a lot of theology that needs to get into the black church before that'll
right.
happen.
That's why I said get saved first.
There's a lot of the social justice being perpetuated now in the black churches that are liberal and create bigger governments and bigger problems.
That's right.
Under the guise of, you know, this will really free the black community, and it's just making their chains tighter.
That's right. That's right. Good point, man. All right, here we go. So, title of the video is on YouTube, and it's Young Gun Control Mastermind David Hogg Interview. That's the name of the video if you want to go see it for yourself. I want to warn you ahead of time, moms especially that are maybe homeschooling kids or playing this in your house right now, your kids are running around. I want to warn you right now and give you a moment here to turn it down or, you know, to do what you have to do to make sure your kids don't hear it. I told you that I'm not going to sanitize this interview. I'm not going to provide any cover and support for David Hogg whatsoever. I want you to hear the young man as he is. And so I want to give you guys just a moment to go ahead and hit pause, turn it down, do what you got to do. But I'm going to play it as it is. No sanitizing on Apologia Radio. Here is David Hogg in his own house, by the way.
They're pathetic fuckers that want to keep killing our children. They could have blood from children spattered all over their faces and they wouldn't take action.
Stop.
Because they all...
Can we respond?
Yeah,
I don't
sure.
want them to get
no.
too far.
No, you stop me. I'll stop.
If I had blood spattered on my face from children that were killed in a mass shooting, I still wouldn't take people's gun rights away. Because they're rights. Rights can't be taken away. Like, that's the point.
That's the point.
They're God-given and God-breathed. And so...
Yes.
So the answer to that question is, well, obviously, I would not. And the founding fathers are the ones that said, if you have to choose between safety and liberty, choose liberty.
Yes.
And never to sacrifice those two things.
Yes.
So,
yeah, famous quote from one of our forefathers.
And I would say that Hogwash is being a coward because he's been part of a traumatic event. And his response is not to equip himself to defend himself, but it's to rid everybody else of the ability and give that responsibility to someone else.
Yes.
So that's just cowardice.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And of course, that famous quote is people who would sacrifice freedom for security don't deserve either.
Yeah.
I will say too, Marcus, I mean, I think you make a great point there. I would also add that I believe that David Hogg's really, really adolescent argumentation would lead to more blood spatter on people's faces because... If you remove equalizers and the ability to defend yourself and you give people gun-free zones, now you've got more victims with no ability to defend themselves. And now you have what? Yeah. More death, more blood spattering. And isn't it important to...
You should give the guns to Broward County police officers. They do a great job.
Yeah, they didn't even come in the building.
Right.
So that needs to be pointed out. Where are all these mass shootings taking place? It's a point made all the time. Gun-free zones. Gun-free zones, y'all. Where do you think someone's going to go to murder a lot of people unprohibited and unrestricted, unrestrained? At a gun-free zone. They're not going to walk into a place. You're not going to have someone do a mass shooting at a shooting range, right? Yeah. Because there's too many guns pointed back at you.
And they're not going to be wearing a different colored backpack either.
That's
right. They're just going to walk in with a gun.
What about a forcep-free zone?
That's right.
What if the blood splattered on... These people was the blood of an unborn child that was murdered in their mother's womb.
Then would they do something?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
They'll see those dollar signs.
Are you exhausted?
I'm beyond exhausted.
Is it energizing, this exhaustion? Is it an energizing exhaustion?
Yeah, it's just as energizing as it is exhausting at this point. I get to a certain point where I get so tired that I just keep going. It creates a positive feedback loop in... some ways, where the more stress and work that I put on me, the more work and stress that I can deal with. Well, at this point, it's like when your old ass parents, like, I don't know how to send an iMessage, and you're just like, give me the fucking phone, and you take it, and you're like, okay, let me handle it, and you get it done in 1 second. Sadly, that's what we have to do with our government, because our parents don't know how to use a fucking democracy.
Apparently, his parents don't know how to use a paddle either.
I'm sorry, is he... being characterized as mastermind in this video?
Well, I think someone's making...
Did you...
They're poking fun at him.
Okay.
Mastermind is in, like, the blue-headed dude.
Well, yeah, because nothing that he said... First of all, the second question has nothing to do with... with regulation
Shul
at all.
Shooting.
Right.
Like, his parents not being able to use... There's no correlation, to my knowledge, in being able to use a cell phone and running the government.
Right.
as far as I know.
Also, this isn't a democracy. It's a republic.
Well, that
just is, one word.
That is such a big difference.
Well, yeah. Well, and I don't like, it's just to me, all of his, he's getting all this screen time and airtime, but what he's saying really isn't anything.
No.
And I can see why he's being used to propagate this idea, because he just, he's totally, he has to offer what the world wants to hear, which is just like sound bites and feelings based well, emotional statements, you know,
because
like
liberalism lives off of emotion and not law.
Right. But like when he says that, I mean, so
dang.
People need to sell. He's talking about people.
That's a good line.
People wanting to sell guns, murder kids, and honestly just get reelected. And they're just okay with that. Anyone who wants guns is a horrible person that wants to murder kids, make money, or get reelected. But that's just not, like, that's not true. That's not even an honest statement that could be being made. And you see it plastered all over the internet. And I just am a little concerned that people are falling for it.
It's our nation. I made a statement. I said liberalism is based upon emotionalism and not law. What I meant by that is think about the things that have happened in the last couple of years with the gender stuff. Mm. It's based on emotion.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
of
is
course.
It right that somebody comes into my daughter's bathroom and possibly exposes himself of a different gender?
Right.
Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. And so we should codify into law protection of their emotions. So that's one example.
Right.
Another one is homosexuality. Right. It's not marriage. It's not the bringing together and uniting of two different things. It's the same thing. But we don't want to hurt their feelings because love is love. And so we codify into law a protection of their emotions. There's that. And then this issue with the gun rights is not about law and what's right and just. That's what law is. The basis of law is justice. It's about emotions, right? This man is really, young man is very upset. He's very emotional. And so let's codify into law the protection of his feelings and what would make him feel safe. So it's not about what's just for society. It's about what's better for his emotions.
Mm.
Liberalism lives off of emotion and not law.
Mm.
That's,
well, unless you're talking about the emotions of the people that disagree with you.
Yeah, except
course.
For us.
Right.
Well, because we get to be, like, if we were splattered with the blood of children, we'd be like, oh, but I got to make that money, though. Like, that's what
right.
he said.
Right.
If right. I was splattered with the blood of children, that shooter would be dead.
Right.
Because I would have shot him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Luke's armed right now. And so am I. Are you armed right now, Daniel?
I'm not today.
You didn't bring it today?
Slacker.
Oh, Malakoi. I'm just kidding. Here we go.
We have to. We think what sick fuckers are out there that want to continue to sell more guns, murder more children, and honestly just get reelected. What type of person are you when you want to see more fucking money than children's lives? What type of shitty
Nobody
person
said
is
that?
Who said that?
Nobody has said that. That's right. what I'm
Nobody.
Saying. Like, everything he's saying is nothing. It doesn't mean Wait. Anything. Wait. And I, like, it's all put together very nicely to where it seems like it means something, but it really doesn't mean anything. And that's fine. He's a 17-year-old boy that was just in a school shooting.
Wait, can we rewind that and play that again? I want to hear that again.
Fuckers are out there that want to continue to sell more guns, murder more children, and honestly just get reelected. What type of person are you when you want to see more fucking money than children's lives?
Planned Parenthood. What type that's of who
seriously?
You are. That's who
seriously.
You are.
And that's actually true.
Cecil Richards. Ooh, that's
right.
who you are, Cecil Richards.
That actually Ooh. Means something.
Hillary Clinton. That's who you are.
That one hurts.
Any person does that.
And like, there's this whole, I mean, the way that they're talking about it now, the way Rick Scott has been talking about it is like, when the shooter arrives, we need a metal detector and a guard.
Point, with Rick Scott, it's like, when I get elected to Senate, we're not going to let that fucking happen, and you guys better not. He's like, oh, I'm going to implement all of these amazing things. Let me make sure I do it right before my election for Senate when I try calling out Bill Nelson. He's turning this political.
So do you see that as opportunistic?
I mean, it's absolutely opportunistic. He does not give a fuck about these kids' lives at all. He only cares about his reelection. That's why this stuff is being implemented in a year, not today.
What is striking to me about this is that you guys seem to be have such mastery of the internet in a way that I feel like, I mean, literally any politician pretty much can't even approach it.
And that's the great thing about it, because those fuckers aren't going to get reelected.
But on the internet, they're on your turf, essentially. Like, this is the way I think about it. But, like, you actually have to take that turf and take it to theirs, which is like making laws happen and getting people elected mm-hmm. or making sure people don't get elected. I mean, and
when you start hearing from your political aides that there's a shitload of angry future voters, you start to worry a little bit.
Unless your political aides are the ones who are telling people that they're crisis actors, like...
Yeah, I'd love to meet that. Hey, if you're out there, fuck you.
Who did this interview? Jamali Maddox?
Obviously some liberal propaganda machine. So I wanted you guys to hear it. And again, I apologize. I assure you that we don't talk like that here. It's not a part of our speech. We don't at all respect it. But we, of course, wanted to play it because we want you to hear the young man as he truly is. We don't want you to hear the sanitized CNN or MSNBC version of David Hogwash. We want you to hear the actual David Hogwash as he is in his own home. That's his comfort zone. And by the way, where is your mother and father, young man?
They're in the back room counting the money coming in.
Where's your mom and dad? And why aren't you being spanked? You're not in my house. You would not be big enough to avoid a spanking over my leg. I can promise you that much. Let me tell you, if my children ever spoke like that, it'd be the end of the world. It would be the end of the world.
Prepare yourself.
It would be the end of the world. Things would definitely happen in my home.
I do want to bring up something.
And right, Imogen?
This is
right. No.
Sorry. And this is by no means. This is more of a discussion that I want to have quickly.
Okay.
Sorry. This isn't my attempt to like soften this episode towards people that will hear it, but I did read that. I read that David and his whole family have received death threats. Right. Is that the appropriate? Is that what we're doing this episode for? Is that?
That'd be more evil than right. probably right, anything, exactly. anything out of his mouth.
Right. So despite our jokes about a civil war and everything like that,
yeah.
we can make it very clear that...
That would be evil. Wicked. Yeah. Wicked. And I would say this, in terms of a civil war, if they tried to remove, say, right to free speech or the right to against unlawful search and seizure, or if they tried to remove... the right to, you know, own a weapon to defend yourself against tyrannical government or anything like that. When I talk about civil war, I mean defensive only. Mm. I'm not talking about right. storming the White House lawn or your government.
Right. Finding the person you dislike and being like, we're in a war now.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I think I love how Doug Wilson said this. He said, in terms of the Second Amendment there and they're trying to destroy it, yeah. he said, first would be prophetic. Speak prophetically against it. Second is hide.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, pull back. And then third is the final straw is, okay, you start, you know, having to defend yourself.
1776 will commence yeah. again.
So it's speak prophetically against it. Second is pull back, retreat, and try to you know, find some way to negotiate terms. And then the third is, okay, if you have to fight, you have to fight. That's what I mean. Okay, Stoneman Douglas student tells 60 Minutes why arming teachers is stupid. This is one of the responses as to why it'd be stupid to arm the teachers. So you would think, okay, we got people coming into schools to shoot people up. By the way, a week after the Parkland school shooting, there was another attempted school shooting, I think in Baltimore. Where was it, Baltimore? And there was a man who was armed.
So. Yes.
He shot the shooter, and crisis averted right. from that point on.
And he was made a villain, wasn't he? Shot the shooter.
Where's the media talking about this guy that saved all these kids' lives? Now, I think that the shooter did actually kill someone. Maybe one or two people.
He was a cop, right? And he was off duty, and he had his private weapon on.
So how come the media didn't talk about that? Like, oh wow, how amazing this is that in this gun-free zone, someone came in to shoot, and this guy was armed, and he took him down.
Well, it's because it doesn't go with this narrative.
Right.
I don't mean this like in a super offensive way, but to David Hogg, or at least apparently from what he said, what I can gather is that the world is separated into people that agree with him and, using his own words, shitty people. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to maintain.
Right.
Like, you need to, for this to work, you have to maintain that those are the two people that make up this world.
Right. This is the only one of two options.
Those are the categories.
Oh my
God. You can bleep me if you want.
Now Joy's gonna get some trouble.
Well, you quoted. I know some people think that even if you quote someone that's saying that, you're doing it yourself, but
yeah.
we don't hold that
view.
Well,
but that's not, there's no other word I have for what he thinks of people that disagree with him right now.
Right.
That's like, If you don't agree with him on this, he couldn't tell you with a lot of evidence and facts why, but he can tell you that you're not a good person.
Right.
Can we put out, I don't know, like some sort of prize for our listeners if they can get us the contact information for David Hogg?
Yes.
I think you just said it.
Yeah. I want him on the show. And I've tried.
We'll send you a t-shirt.
He's deleted all his personal Facebook accounts and moved his new Twitter page and stuff like that, which is probably being run by a company too. So,
who's Soros Inc?
Well, yes. And so I think if somebody out there knows how to get a hold of David Hogg, I want to talk to this kid.
Yeah.
I want him on our show.
And you know how we do it at Apologia. We'll treat him with respect and kindness and gentleness.
Yeah, he is a victim.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've seen him on a show yet where he has to defend himself. I haven't seen that clip yet.
Yeah, he is a victim. He's a victim of course, his awful, awful shooting. And he's also a victim of the indoctrination in the public schools.
Yeah, yeah.
He's what it produces. Okay, so this is the other student that is often seen with David Hogg. Was on the cover of Time magazine. She's the one with the shaved head and the tattered jeans.
Oh, they did the moment of silence at the march.
I think that's who.
Is this the bully? Yeah.
The girl that admitted to... Yeah, I saw those
videos.
The
bully and the shooter, yeah.
What do you think about this idea of arming teachers?
It's stupid.
Why?
First of all, they have... Douglas ran out of paper for like 2 weeks in the school year, and now all of a sudden they have $400 million to pay for... teachers to get trained to arm themselves?
Well, that's easily refuted by, we love kids so much that we're going to find the money to protect you.
Right.
So that's not a good reason to not arm teachers to protect. I mean, if this was a girl who's in the school and actually heard the gunshots and was in fear for her life and saw friends die and a teacher die, all that stuff. I mean, don't you want the adults to do what's necessary to protect you, even if it costs $1 billion? I mean, I have the solution right now is close the public schools. But in lieu of that...
Save us taxpayers some money.
In lieu of closing the public schools, I will say that if they must be open, I don't want kids to die. So I'd like to see teachers armed and protecting children.
Can I play devil's advocate there? Because I think it is, like you said, we should close the schools. But the parents' job is also to be the protector of their children, not the government employees. So it makes me nervous to arm government employees around our children just the same. If the schools were truly like private, like Logos or something, of course I think they should be armed. But when we're talking about like government schools that are part of the federal system and those employees being armed around our children, that I don't know.
Oh,
makes
I'm
me
with
just
you.
As nervous.
Oh no, it's a conundrum. I'm with you.
Yeah, it's like a weird. It's the best pragmatic solution we have to a problem that should just not exist.
Because we're giving our students to the state for education. Now we're giving the state our children to protect them. And it's like no, it's still bad. It's still really bad.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So
really, if you're a teacher and you have a gun. Do you keep it in a lockbox or do you carry it on your person? If the teacher dies.
I'd say on your person.
Yeah. Yep.
Obviously.
With a bunch of kids around, yes.
No, on your person. Let me go ahead and answer that for you. I'd say concealed carry. It's like really great. Luke just got a brand new holster. It's wonderful.
It says We the People on it.
It says We the People on it, and it's hidden away in his back.
Very America.
Yeah, very America.
America.
And he's wearing that right now. So
you should get one with a.
I'll respond directly to the question that did not actually provide any argument against arming teachers. Is they should conceal carry it. That's what should happen.
It should say if you try to take this gun, 1776 will commence again.
Student who's a good student is able to get the gun. Are they now held responsible? To shoot the student who's come into the door?
Yes.
Yes,
of course.
They would be a hero.
What in the world is wrong with these
so
people?
A new part of it is that we don't, a new part of gun regulation is that we don't ever want anyone to ever have to shoot another person under duress.
Yeah.
How could you ever? You don't want anyone to ever be under duress? That's not a planned thing.
I don't.
You just have to stand there and stare them down.
Yeah.
So what? You know what should happen? Is if that ever happened and a school shooter comes in, kills the teacher, and then a student grabs the gun. The student shoots the shooter and saves everybody's lives. What we do that we do is we rename the school after that student. We put flowers over their neck and we throw money at them and we praise them and we build a statue in front of the school. That's what we do.
Okay.
I can't believe that her position is she saying that the student who shoots the armed individual is going to be just as bad as the armed individual?
No, she's saying that you'd have to put a student through trauma. The trauma of shooting another person. But in this situation, that's not even a point
right.
that can be made
right.
because you can never make it so that the whole of society will never be in a distressing situation where they will have to do something heroic or cowardly or life-saving. Like, well, to suggest that putting someone in that situation, you can't put someone in that situation.
Yeah.
That situation happens.
Students were fighting in the Civil War. They were
right.
Students have shot guns before.
This is how stupid these laws are. So like, for example, if I am driving through a school zone and there's a man approaching the school with a gun that's going to shoot somebody, and I'm in the school zone and I pull out my gun and shoot that person, I'm a hero because I just saved a bunch of lives. However, I just had a gun in
the
school zone, and now I'm also going to jail.
You're a criminal.
Right. If I'm at home with my wife and I get shot, my teenage son better pick up my gun
right.
and protect my wife.
Yes, right. Yeah,
they're in those instances. It shouldn't be a fear of trauma because trauma of some form will happen. It's not unavoidable to traumatize
people. The teacher just got shot. The trauma's already happened.
It's love for neighbor,
amen.
Actually.
It's
a sacrificial act of love. Knowing that you will be mentally distressed from killing another person is you sacrificially loving another. Yeah. There's not
a whole classroom of people.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not an, it's not a good argument.
Well, it's better to die than to be in a mental distress.
You can, yeah.
Right.
That's what they think.
Right. Yeah.
You could also demonstrate this in real life. Parents buy guns to protect their homes against intruders and the like. But you have instances even fairly recently where a teenage boy protected his sister against home invaders with his father's AR-15.
Right.
So his father bought that AR-15 so that he would have to use it against home invaders. But the home invaders came when he was gone. And this teenager, under distress and duress, he had to grab the AR-15 and protect his sister and his father's home. Now, what do you want? You wanted this to die? We just really want these kids to die?
Is for there to never be... They're saying that if there is never a circumstance in which someone can walk into anywhere with a gun and shoot anyone, then we'll all be okay.
And that will happen in the fully consummated new heavens and new earth.
Right.
So until then...
Because it won't happen if you give the government all the power, because then the government will come in your home and kill you.
Until then, we have to wield God's word and his standards of justice in this fallen world. Here we go.
Be with that.
Where's the one with the good handwriting?
Okay. So that was all there was in that. All right. So I'm trying to hurry through this because we do have more here. All right. Now, this is the one we all really wanted to get to. This is the two students leading this entire thing from Stoneman Douglas, and they are on Bill Maher. Brace yourself because this gets difficult.
Wow. How you guys doing?
Yeah. Tired.
Tired, yeah. You're running around the country doing a good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Trying to make our voices heard.
Oh, you're doing that and more. I mean, you've done a great thing in turning your grief into something positive. And you have a march. Let's first just talk about that and the future and what's going to happen with this movement. When is it? It's scheduled for Washington?
It's March 24th.
Okay. A march in March on the 24th. And what are the goals?
Well, with the march, we want Americans to stop being afraid of demanding our politicians to take action. They work for us. We don't work for them. And the march is us.
Why does it take a liberal teenager?
I know.
Why does it take a liberal teenager to understand that point? Christians,
well, and it's
wake up.
So many people just believe what they're supposed to believe. It's the, like, that echo chamber feeling we have running through society.
Yep.
Like, if one person claps, they'll all just keep clapping forever.
The march is us coming out and saying to our employees, you guys suck at your job.
Right. And
with the march, we want everyone to come out, bring their parents, bring their kids. Everybody in the nation is either a child or a former child. And that's what we want to do, is say, this isn't about red and blue. This is about protecting the kids.
Okay. I also have a boycott in mind, and I think that's a great idea.
So what we're trying to do with that is, we met with some of the legislators in Tallahassee, and we felt like we didn't really get far enough because they wouldn't even discuss assault weapons there. What they did discuss, though, was porn as a public health emergency, which is...
That's just so funny, right? They discuss porn as a public health emergency.
Well, what's...
How dare they?
I don't agree with you. Like, so you are a bad person.
Up until that point where he said assault rifles, it could have all been applied to abortion.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Which kids are we talking about protecting? Right. Only the ones that have been born?
Mm-hmm.
Right. He said we're all either a kid or a former kid.
Yep.
Emergency? Which just goes to show you, it's porn. But
related shooting issue.
Yeah. But sadly, that's the only one that these lawmakers seem to care about.
Is that really? That's what, that's what they said to you? They said, let's switch the subject to porn?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you guys? 17?
17.
It's not going to work with you.
Yeah.
I remember 17, and boy,
well,
I
say they stop looking at that stuff, and they actually start looking at our lives, you know?
Right.
Because those moral issues aren't connected in any way.
I don't think that's probably how that meeting went down.
No, I don't believe it.
It seems like it was more of there were several subjects that were discussed at that meeting.
Yeah.
And I just don't think they were like, that doesn't even make any sense.
Well, I think the main thrust of the conversation on this particular point is that these kids, in the context of these school shootings and else, they're not truly concerned with the moral fabric, the moral problem that leads to school shootings and the issues involved and how you ought to protect children. For them, it's not a moral issue. It's legislate our way into a utopia, into this perfect place. But it's not ultimately the problem of morals in our country,
right.
The problem of sin in our country. I think that's the thing I would want to point to.
They're God of the government.
That's exactly right.
So with the economics, with all of that, we felt like, at least I felt like, we weren't getting enough movement. So I decided if the only thing that these politicians care about is money, we'll go after their money.
That's very smart. I got to say, watching, besides the service you're doing to the country about guns, I don't have kids. And I only see what I know about them from television. I avoid them in life.
With good reason.
But watch, I mean, you're so together. And all of you, not just you, other people from your school I've seen on TV, calm, articulate. I honestly thought...
Really?
We just played a clip where he wasn't calm or articulate.
Calm and articulate is not two... Those are not two words I would use to describe this movement.
I know.
Calm and articulate?
Yeah.
I would also like to point out that the same money that he's talking about taking from the politicians is the same money that's paying him right now.
Right. I wonder if we could get to the bottom of how many dollars are coming in from Soros.
Kids were a lot stupider. You have really given me faith that the kids today are actually very bright.
I'll tell you why.
Way brighter than we were.
It's only because
the interview.
Yeah, that's the beginning of the interview. Yeah.
So far, all he's talked about is saving kids and pornography
and faith.
So, like,
in what?
Why is he? What is he being complimented on?
Today are actually very bright.
I'll tell you why.
I way brighter than we were. And
it's only because they locked up the Tide Pods. No.
In all seriousness, I think the good thing, one of the best things about our generation, sure, people think we're lazy and on our phones all the time, and sure, you know, that's me. But we don't respect people just because we have to. We don't respect you just because you have senator in front of your name.
Right.
And Mr. Rubio, if you don't believe me, watch, you know, the news. And we don't just stand for, we don't let people steamroll over us. We have voices and we use them, sometimes unfortunately, sometimes for good. And that's why.
I think you're doing very good. And I want to know, how long do you think you will keep doing this? How long will this keep going?
Well, to be quite frank with you, we're millennials, and we love complaining more than any other generation. So,
they perfectly codify the problem of this generation,
mm-hmm.
of the youth in this generation. And I sound like such an old man saying that.
Well,
yeah. Well,
the shoe fits.
I am 40. But they do perfectly codify it. And the amazing thing here is that they grant it. Yeah, I'm lazy and on my phone all the time, and we love to complain more than anything. And that's really the substance of this movement. People who love to complain all the time, they're riddled with emotions, and they just are ticked. They have no respect for authority and leadership.
And they brag about it.
Well, you complain in a very controlled way. You complain on social media or in a video, something where you don't really have to listen to what other people are saying back to you.
Right.
You don't really have to engage. You just get to complain, mm-hmm. and you don't really have to listen to anyone talking any sense or anyone who disagrees with you. You don't have to do it.
Well, you just made a good point as he was talking. You said, I don't know if people heard it over the audio, you said you don't respect anybody.
Right.
Like that's really what you're saying.
Right.
No, I don't respect you.
If you respect someone, you don't, even if you do curse in your regular language, you don't curse at someone or to someone when you're trying to be respectful. I'm sorry. That's just right there. Rule number one. Like, are you going to get a job interview?
And the Bible commands us to respect those in authority. So.
Right.
Well, he's already shown he doesn't respect his own parents.
You can respect someone in authority and still oppose what they believe.
Right.
And the fact that they think that there's a contradiction there.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, that his own word was the best word for it. That's why I said it. Because he truly thinks that you are that kind of person if you don't agree with him.
I think it's important to remember that as crazy as this is and that this is happening, God allowed that shooting to happen knowing that it would result in more judgment on us.
Right.
So we're getting what our nation wants. Our nation wants this tyranny and stuff. And there's no way to really do anything about it unless the church were to be louder than these kids. And I don't see that happen. I just don't see that happening. I don't see tomorrow, you know, the churches doing a walk for the Second Amendment in this country. Like the
Because we have cowards in the pulpit.
Yeah, like the Black Robe Regiment. Like, where are they at right now? The
Apologia Church and Christ Church.
Yeah, those are two. Yeah, I'm sure there's a few
There's more.
Make sure you listen to the show we just did with Toby.
Yeah.
If there are more, they need to get out on their social media a little bit more.
Yeah.
So we know about them.
Yes.
The stage manager.
Yeah, but could you...
Okay, this next point, this is probably where we'll end, but I just want you to hear it. I think it's right next.
Why? Were you bitching about something here?
No, look, a lot of people are trying to take us down quickly. They're trying to discredit us. They're trying to say, we don't know what we're talking about. Well, until you've been on the receiving
some
end of...
Some of them have called you actors.
Well, I am an actor, actually. I'm in Spring Awakening right now at the Barclay Performing Arts Center. It's a great show. What I'm saying is, you know, you can say that we don't know what we're talking about because we're 17 years old, but until you've been on the receiving end of an AR-15, until you've been locked into your class. Look, Wayne LaPierre, Dana Loesch.
Right.
I don't know if you guys have ever had to deal with that, but as far as I know, that's not the case. We've been locked in a classroom. We have seen our friends text their parents goodbye. We are the experts. We know exactly what we're talking about. How dare you tell us we don't know what we're...
I'm friend. Let's take that again.
About this.
Okay.
I've been in a lot of accidents. It doesn't make me an expert on good driving.
That is the truth.
That is the truth.
So that is the worst logic I've ever heard. And like, you're just because you witness something doesn't make you an expert in it.
Well, precisely. I mean, just because you see an accident take place in a row doesn't mean that you now understand all the laws of physics, the complicated laws of physics that interacted there to make that accident happen or crumple the car into pieces. Just because you're a witness to something doesn't mean that you're an expert in it.
Yeah, right. That's ridiculous.
It seems simple enough.
You would think.
Cameron scene too.
Yeah.
Yes, agreed. What I'm asking is like in 6 months, say, if you haven't gotten the change you wanted, you're going to graduate high school at some point,
hopefully.
Right?
Yeah, I might not.
would you see doing this as a career, blowing off college? Because honestly, guys, college is a bunch of bullshit.
kidding, kids, kidding. It's great. Yeah, college. You probably, you know, would learn more or just as much, you know. I mean, you already have this great platform.
We'd certainly learn more than our politicians are willing to take action on.
Well, I do think you're going to get something done. I really do. I mean, we have never quite seen change like this, or at least people receptive to it.
And I think part of the reason for that is we've kept reminding people that this isn't about us. This isn't about Democrats or Republicans. This is about Americans and those 17 individuals that lost their lives that day. That's what this really should be about.
We're not targeting people's guns. My father was...
Wait, listen. No, you had to hear this. You heard what he said. We're not targeting people's guns. Keep listening.
He's a police officer. His father's former FBI. We have guns in our houses. We're not trying to tear apart the Second Amendment. We are just...
We're not trying to tear apart the Second Amendment. Listen to how Bill Maher responds to that.
It's begging for our lives, getting murdered in our classrooms.
But honestly, I think that's part of the problem in this country is that nobody goes at the Second Amendment.
And there it was.
There it was. But they've said in other interviews they are going after the Second Amendment.
Well, what do they want if they're not going after the Second Amendment?
Well, somebody asked him, and I don't have that interview pulled up, but somebody did ask him, like, well, David Hogg, what are your policy recommendations? And he was like, well, I'm not really fit to make that decision. That's up to the legislators. It's like, what do you want? What is it you're saying to us? What's justice?
Well, I mean, so far it appears that what he really wants is he wants a spotlight on this horrible tragedy and someone to be as angry as he is so that it'll never happen again. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if there's legislation that exists that will accomplish that.
I mean,
there's things that could help. Mm-hmm. I don't think he wants those things. Like,
nope.
I don't think arming teachers and stuff is what he's looking for, and certainly not clear backpacks.
Nope.
But I think it would make sense that a victim of a crime like this would just want people to see what happened.
Very much so. Yeah. And what I would love to see respect and honor towards the dead and those who were affected by this tragedy. I'd love to see love poured out upon all the students and families. I can't imagine. I heard the kids just sort of going back to school. I can't imagine what that's like for them. It's got to be so traumatic to walk back into those hallways again.
Absolutely.
And to be walking past the place where you saw someone get murdered.
Yeah.
I just can't even fathom. I don't have any way to comprehend what these kids are going through. And I think that all of the effort right now should be going into, one, loving those kids and offering them emotional and spiritual support, and two, finding the most effective way to protect them from anything in the future.
Mm.
That has to be the main priority. And it can't be in punishing an entire segment of the population for the actions of one evil, evil scumbag. Right. It can't be that. It has to be some other meaningful way to do it.
Right.
All right, guys. So that's the show. We'll wrap it up there, guys. Any last words?
Good show.
Any last words, Marcus?
No.
No? All right, guys. So thank you guys for listening today. I encourage you guys to share the episode with someone you love. Let people know about Apologia Radio. We're blessed by all of you guys, your love and prayers and support of us. Please continue to pray for our ministry as we bring the gospel into conflict with the world. Encourage you again to go check out the new content up at Apologia Studios on YouTube and on Facebook. Love you guys very, very much, and just so grateful for all the encouraging words you're constantly sending to us. They mean so much to us. That's Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
Joy the Girl.
See ya.
King Ginger.
Oh, I do have one tweet to read real quick.
Oh, please do.
Sarah Trice says, thought I would share this with you. I made use of the tool to contact legislative representatives here in Nevada. Mr. Ellison here actually wrote a non-prescripted reply, and the representative from Nevada said, thank you for taking the time to contact me. I am pro-life and believe that every child upon conception has a right to live.
Yeah.
So the tool is working.
Good.
And people do get messages back from the representatives. So
what Marcus is referring to, guys, is on endabortionnow.com. There's a special tool that we pay for. It's actually quite pricey. It's about $10,000, and it's a way for you to get into contact with your legislator locally. It sends a message directly from you to them, demanding an immediate end to abortion, and it offers your love and support to the legislator, and it just tells them that you'll support them for taking bold and consistent moves towards ending abortion immediately. You can do it by going to endabortionnow.com. You click on the legislator tab portion. You just fill out your information, take you about 60 seconds, hit send, and a pre-made letter goes directly to your local legislators. And that's what you do. So praise God for that. All right. So this has been Apologia Radio. Thanks so much, guys, for listening. Blessed by you guys. We'll catch you guys next week.